Hi, you're listening to audio from The Dwelling. We hope you enjoy the message, and for more information, please visit us online at www.thedwellingtx.org.
And what I want to do is actually we're going to hear God's word this morning. We're going to hear God's word from the screen, and so let's tune in now to Ephesians chapter 2.
You were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your doing. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
Awesome. Let's say a prayer. Lord, we come before you and we just surrender this time to you, God. I pray that you'd work mightily in this moment, in these next minutes, God. Please, we want to hear from you. We want to hear from you, and we want to hear not only with our ears, but we want to hear with our hearts. God, I pray that you'd help me right now to just convey truth, to convey your word to us, your people, that we might, God, be changed and transformed according to your Spirit's prompting and leading and guiding. God, help us to take away from this message the incredibly important truth of how important understanding grace really is in our life. Help me to articulate this well, Lord. I pray that you would, God, if I've been moving in my sermon prep towards turning right and your Spirit says go left, I pray that would happen. And please, God, just let me be moldable and bendable to what you would have for this morning. Let us hear, let me share just your words, not a word more and not a word less than what needs said this morning. God, this time we give to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome, guys. So how many of you, here's my question, how many of you have never in your entire life, okay, I'm really curious about this, you've never picked up a snow shovel? How many? Never touched one. Okay. Never touched one. Okay, so there's this stuff, it's like white, okay, in some places. No, that's really fascinating. So When I was growing up, I'm from Wisconsin, and I've used these analogies like snow stuff before, right, and some stories. But when I was growing up, we had a fairly large driveway, and we were up in Wisconsin, so there's a lot of snow up there, right? And so we would shovel, and we would actually have different kinds of shovels, right? Sometimes they'd be a little wider, and that's for a certain thing. Sometimes they're a little narrower, that's for a certain thing. We actually had one that we made, okay? My dad made this one, and he used like 1x6s, okay, and 2x4s, and we called it Big Mama, okay? And yeah, there's somebody back there that built maybe a Big Mama before, okay? Big Mama, what Big Mama is Big Mama is this giant wide one. And it pushes really thin snow. So you get like a quarter of an inch, you pull Big Mama out, and you go plow your driveway. It's awesome, okay? And so sometimes that's what works. But sometimes, right? Sometimes it's coming down so much. And right, it kind of, I was gonna get a picture for y'all, and I just didn't. But like right where our driveway is, it's kind of, there's a little hill, and right there, this wind comes whipping over the top, and it starts to create big drifts, okay? And so some of it is like coming down like crazy sometimes, plus the added wind, and sometimes, and you know, I'm a 10-year-old kid or whatever it is, come walking out with my little shovel, and I'm like eyeballs on the top of the snowbank. Like, it's huge. Like, you're not getting your car out of the driveway. You're stuck. You're not going anywhere until you get that baby shoveled out. Well, that's how we, like, my dad, right? Some people, like pay people to, like, plow their drive. No, yeah, my dad never did that, right? He just had us kids go out, seven kids go out, and just, we shoveled our driveway. That's what we did. But sometimes the snowbank was so high. And we go out there and like, this is going to take us forever to clean this up. It's going to take us forever. Because you don't just push Big Mama out there. You can't. You literally have to go over and scoop and walk and throw and come back. You know what I'm saying? And scoop. And it's, you know, it's like scoop the top of the... And that's how you have to do it. That's how you have to do it. And I can remember a couple times, this is where this kind of story is going. I can remember a couple times where it was so bad. Like, you know, the blizzard comes through and the wind's crazy and it creates these huge drifts. And we go out there and we're just standing there and we're just like, this is going to take forever to get this pile to disappear. And I can remember a couple times, like maybe two or three times, where all of a sudden, a neighbor, or a friend with these things called pickup trucks, right? With the giant plow thing on the front. And these guys, just sometimes, I can remember just a few times, just standing there, just like, this is going to take forever. And all of a sudden, they just come in. And in like 30 seconds, our driveway is just plowed. Just like that. Doesn't matter how big, like, these guys just, and we're just like, yes! So excited. Right, just so pumped up that these guys saw us and were like, we will come and help you because it's going to take you forever. And for us, it's going to take us 30 seconds. That, and I'm thinking about that story this past week. I couldn't shake it. Honestly, I was trying to think of something a little more Texan, like to connect with you. I know, but actually this kind of works because you guys hate snow so much. Like, this pile of snow for y'all is like that is from the pit of hell. I mean, that is just not cool for most of you, and so it kind of works because this is really a picture of this Ephesians passage. This is a little bit of a picture of what we're dealing with in the reading this morning. It's a picture of this pile of stuff, right? This pile of stuff that we might call different things, and I'm going to kind of expand on this, but we might call this sin, we might call this brokenness, we might call this pain. I don't know what you're bringing this morning. Tiffany kind of alluded to it in the prayer. Like, I don't know what you might be bringing with you this morning, but maybe some giant, like, heap or mound of stuff that you're dealing with, that you have in front of you, that you're looking at it and you're like, it is going to take me forever to get out of this. It's going to take me forever. Like, it's too broken. The relationship is too far gone, or I don't know exactly what it might be, or the pain is too deep, or the hurt. There's this stuff that we're dealing with, and we're looking at, we're like, it is so huge. And then there's this incredible picture of grace. That's really what this text is all about. It's a picture of grace. And that's why I put this plow with this kind of grace thing on it. Sorry for Ford lovers and sorry guys. But there's this, you know, this picture of this grace that comes in and just plows it away. And just plows it away. See, what is grace? Here's my question. What is grace? What is grace? Have you ever thought about that? What is grace? See, listen. Grace is God. This is very key. This is very important. Grace is God doing for you what you can't do. Yeah, God's riches at Christ's expense. We're going there. Grace, look at this. God doing for you what you could never do. God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches. God doing for you what you could never do. You're looking at the pile and you're like, man, this is too big. This is too huge. And God's stepping into that. God richly providing that. God stepping in and doing something. Now listen, I'm very concerned about those who are going to start to just kind of like check out of this message because they're like, I kind of already get this. You're the one who I'm really coming after today. And I'm going to show you why. I'm going to show you how. So stick with me, okay? If you already got this one figured out, stay with me. Stay with me. God doing for you something that you can't do. Look at this text, Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. Check this out. Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of the flesh and carrying out the desires of the body, and on and on and on. See, we can see, if we're honest and we spend a little bit of time reflecting, we can see how big of a predicament we're really in. We can see how big the pile, how big the drift really is. And my question to you is this, how big is it? Where does this come from? Where does things like greed, okay, this text tells us, where does greed or sexual immorality or a lack of compassion, like no compassion or love, or a covetous heart, where does that come from? Well, listen, look at this. It comes from this is how bad it is. It comes from the pit of hell. Look at this. Are you reading it? This is why, you know, have your Bibles. Because check this out. You once walked, all of us walked in this, and following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Listen, this comes from within us. It's not all satanic just stuff. It's also inside of us, inside of our hearts. Jesus says what comes out of the heart is evil stuff. What is, where does this come from? It comes from the pit of hell. See, we treat gossip as just a little gossip. Hell. Just kind of a little covetous. I'm kind of wanting that thing over there. I'm kind of willing to do anything to kind of get. Hell. The spirit. Spiritual forces of evil. The prince of the power of it, the working that, and I think part of the reason he puts in the power of the air is because it's everywhere. It's working in your kitchen as you begin to get kind of snarky and snotty with the people in your very family. You're sitting at the computer and you're about to go somewhere where you shouldn't go. It's there from the pit of hell. This this isn't just like little, you know, just little teeny stuff. That, no, 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 no. It's a big old pile. How are you going to get out? How are you going to get out? There's three ways that we attempt to try to kind of get out. There's three kind of approaches to getting out of this because of how bad it is, okay? And I'm going to unpack these three things for you this morning. How do we get out of this pile? The first way is that we dig ourselves out. We dig ourselves out. And there's two, follow me here, come on, stick with me. There's two branches to this. There's two ways to thinking, the thinking of either our culture or in our own lives, to thinking about us digging ourselves out. The first branch basically looks at the pile and says, the pile isn't that bad. It's not that deep. We could maybe go get Big Mama. You know, quarter of an inch of snow. And so our culture, or sometimes in our own lives, we look at the pile and we're like, it's not that big of a pile. It's really not that bad. I'm actually not that bad of a person. I'm okay. I got this figured out. Like, there's other people who are messed up. My wife is messed up. Right? My kids are messed up. They're demon-possessed. But like me? I kind of got this. The pile's not that bad. And we don't do an honest reflection on our heart. But that to me, as I talk to different people and with kind of different philosophies of life and how they think about life, that to me just so quickly goes away. Because it's all you have to do is kind of like turn on the news. That's all you have to do is give some honest reflection into our community. Ask your wife or your spouse what they think about you. There's some serious brokenness. It is serious. This past week, my wife and I, we were watching this thing. I'm sorry, I'm just kind of going on a little rabbit trail here, but we watched this movie about the Ottoman Empire. This is like early 1900s. The Ottoman Empire. Did you know? I didn't know this. I literally didn't know this, and I kind of like history. The Ottoman Empire, World War I era, they killed 1.5 million Armenians. Did you know that? You knew that? Armenians, a kind of people group. I did not know this. This was one of the first modern-day genocides. You know, you think of like the Holocaust, right? 6 million Jews getting slaughtered. 1.5 million Armenians, the people living amongst these people in the Ottoman Empire. Today, the country of Turkey, they do not acknowledge that happened. It's incredible. It's incredible. And this fiction, you know, this kind of movie based on true stories, right? We're watching this, and then I'm like on, you know, Wikipedia, like trying to learn about all this stuff, because I love that kind of stuff. But as I'm looking at this, I'm like, this really happened. This is really that bad. This is terrible. And then I think about the stuff going on today, and I think about how our culture views life, or the lack of, especially at the earliest levels, and especially at the oldest levels. Do you not understand that that's a real thing? That oftentimes those of us who are kind of strong, right? We're pretty good right now. There's an arrogance to those who are alive and well and strong. We look upon the weak with kind of this demeaning, not life feel to it. And it's like, what? What is that? Come on, be honest with yourself. Is it really that bad? Yes. It comes from the pit of hell. Evil. Okay, so that's one road that you can sometimes take to try to dig out yourself. It's really not that bad. Just go get Big Mama. The second is, yeah, it is pretty bad. It is pretty bad. But I am strong enough to do it myself. Now this, folks, has got our culture written all over it. I mean, this is actually what I would say is one of the primarily beliefs in the West. I am strong enough to dig out myself. It's a pretty big pile. There's some really bad stuff. There's some even bad stuff in maybe my own life. I make some mistakes. I do some stuff maybe I shouldn't do. But I have the strength, if I just dig down hard enough, to find something that might get something moving so that I can break free of it. You know where I saw this happen in just kind of a funny way, but really serious. I went and, has anybody seen Captain Marvel yet? Booyah. We'll chat, buddy. Captain Marvel, are you serious? Oh my goodness. And no Marvel fans? Wow, that surprised me. So this is Captain Marvel, okay? One of the first kind of leading female characters for, I just watched this last weekend. I haven't been in the movies in months, and I was like, I'm going to see it. So I go and see this movie, kind of getting set up for, man, Marvel's coming out with the big one. Endgame is coming. Come on. You're going to be watching that one, right? Well, I wanted to see this leading up to that. So ultimately, here's what's up. There's a moment in this movie, okay? There's a moment in this movie where she who's a human. She's a human being. And she's held captive by, like, these aliens, okay? I'm starting to lose some of you, I know. She's kind of held captive by some of these aliens. And the aliens, like, you are powerless because you are human. And it's precisely at that moment where this girl has some flashbacks to when she was younger. And you know what the flashbacks were of? The flashbacks were of these moments in her life where she made a mistake, but she got back up. And then she'd make another mistake or get hurt, like all these weak points, but she'd get back up. And in the end, she actually, because she doesn't have her full power yet, in the end, she actually begins to get more and more and more and more powerful as what? She begins to believe more and more and more, I am human. I am powerful. And she just continues to get more and more powerful. Listen, this is taught to you all the time. This is taught to you on billboards. This is taught to you in commercials. This is taught to you all over the place. You are the most powerful thing. And we believe this. We believe this. I have enough resources to dig out. I have enough connections to get out. I have enough this. I have enough. I have enough. If I just tap into my inner self, there's something inside of me. If I can just get into it and figure it out and unleash that baby, booyah. Yeah. We have a culture that's teaching us to turn more and more inside of ourselves. And if we just tap in, there's something that's going to pop. Gosh, you got to believe that. You got to see that. Please tell me you see, at least in some, a little bit of reflection, see that all over the place. See that in Burger King saying, have it your way. Whatever you want. You want pickles on it? Put pickles on it. It's there. I want pickles on it. Put the pickles on it. You'll be sleeping with the fishes. See? See? It's all over the place. So that's one of the ways, okay? Look at 1 Corinthians. This is why our culture can't stand Christianity. Now, I mean, it puts up with it. There's this kind of general connection, right? Especially in the West, where it's like, oh, yeah, we can get by. This is why it hates Christianity at its deepest level, though. Why? Because the cross where God dies, right? Where Jesus goes to the cross to pay the price for your sin and your mistakes, our culture looks at that and says, that is foolish. That is foolishness. And we say, no, that's where the power of God is at work. See, our culture wants to see, like, somebody take on Thanos. He's the main bad guy of Marvel. And what's it going to take? It's going to take something powerful. It's going to take Iron Man. It's going to take the Hulk. It's going to take, right? It's going to take all this stuff. And instead, what does Jesus do? Jesus goes and dies. And our culture looks at that and says, that's foolish. That's foolish. And we say, no. That's where the power of God is. Okay, that's the first thing. That's one of the first things. The second thing, which is really where I wanted to spend some time, and I don't know if I can because I'm running out of time. The second thing is that we begin to think of ourselves as 50-50 with Jesus. We dig a little. He digs a little. We kind of skim off the top so that maybe Jesus can come in and kind of pick up the rest. Or maybe we start to think of something like, maybe God does something at first to kind of get the ball rolling, and then we kind of come in to just maybe appease him, kind of keep God happy. Anybody have one of those cats? Any cat people in here? Anybody have one of those cats that's just like sitting there? And like, you're like petting it, but you don't know if it's going to like strike you any second. Do you have that cat? Yeah, in the back. Okay. Those things exist. We're like literally, you're just, you know, nice kitty, and it's just, wah, it's good. It's okay. It's not mad. Or, you know, you don't know. And then all of a sudden, just, you know what I'm saying? Those things exist. And I think sometimes we start to treat God like that. We start to look at God like, you know, okay, God, Jesus died on the cross. He loves me. Very thankful for that. But now, like, we kind of just tiptoe around God, and we don't want to make too many. Now, listen, I'm preaching to this church that message probably more than any other. Because this is one we actually start to believe. This is the one I have the most trouble with, personally. In my flesh, there's something inside of Seth Kunze that really feels sometimes like God has done something for me, and that's incredible. But come on, I gotta do something. I gotta put something forward. Even if it's just, man, you know, 10%, I gotta give a little to you, God. I don't wanna tick you off. Anybody struggling with that? Don't put your hand up, because I feel like a lot of hands could go up. Is that you today? Do you think like God has done something for you and it's kind of nice, but now the rest of your life is about trying to kind of keep him happy and don't want to tick him off too much? And maybe if I just tick him off enough, like he's just... Is that how you think of God? I think sometimes we can think that. The Christianity has been struggling with this particular problem since the beginning. All the way back. Listen, and we can even go back further than this, but I'm going to take you back to Acts chapter 15, where the church, okay, Jesus has just died on the cross. He's risen from the dead. He's ascended into heaven. And now the church is beginning to proclaim that good news to the world, right? But you have some Judaizers who begin to say something like this. Yes, God loves us. It's by grace that we're saved. But we still need to make sure we keep doing this circumcision thing. We want to make sure we don't tick God off. And so literally the question they're asking here is they're asking the question, not here, this is the answer. They're asking the question just before this. They're asking, should we continue to make it mandatory that people need to be circumcised in order to stay connected to this God of the Old Testament and Jesus? Yeah, Jesus loves us, and we're very thankful he died, but we got to make sure we're still circumcising. And how does Peter respond here? Peter responds, now therefore, why are you putting God to the test by placing a yoke on the neck of the disciples that neither our fathers nor... It's never been about that, folks. And then he keeps going, but we believe that we'll be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, just as they will. It's going to be by grace, right? It's going to be by grace. And if you go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, this is where I think some of you actually, I get concerned about this in this area, because there's some really bad teaching on this. There's some bad teaching on this right in this area. Listen to this. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, okay? Now, what happens with some of our thinking is like this. Some of us start to say, for it is by grace we are saved, but faith is something inside of me that I need to tap into in order to reach out and grab that grace. Some of you have actually been taught that exact thought. Here's why that's completely wrong. Look at the next line. And this, which is in the Greek tuto, which is a neuter, okay? This is a neuter, like, reference to the two feminine nouns, grace and faith, charis and pistis, okay? Those are feminine, and so if this is going to be connected to only one of them, then it's going to be either feminine or masculine. No, this is referencing to the whole thing. And this is not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. What does that mean? That means that grace and faith are gifts to you. Grace and faith are God doing something for you you can't do on your own. Man, you have to understand this. This is central to our teaching at the Dwelling. This is what you're going to hear. It's God doing something for you you can't do on your own. Stop trying to make even faith this thing that's... What does Hebrews 2 say? Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith. Well, you think you were just born with this little... See, this was one of the problems of even kind of the 15th century, 14th century, all those kind of areas. Like, this, there's a little bit inside of us. There's just a tiny little sliver of something that we have that we combine with God, and then cool stuff happens. God, you come 99%. Okay, it's not even 50-50 anymore. You come 99% of the way, and I'll come the 1% to you, and boom, bam, bing. We got something. That can become a real problem. That can become a real problem. When we begin to focus in on some moment over the promise. Do you follow me? There's a couple people only that are following that. But when we begin to focus in on simply a moment, I was at camp and I get, yeah, you were at camp and you gave your life to Jesus. Yeah, I don't dispute that. But the Holy Spirit is the one who did that work in you. You understand that? You understand that this is God's work in you? And we go through life and we begin to second guess and we begin to question. Really, the theme today is, what do I do? What do I do when I start to wonder if I'm really saved? All of this sermon is built off of that question. What do I do when I start to wonder, am I really saved? See, that the reason we're worried about and nervous is because we think we put 1% in. Maybe I'm not doing that 1% quite right. That can be a real problem. He digs a little, we dig a little, maybe we can get out. The last one, okay, this is my third one, he plows the driveway. He plows the driveway. Okay, the dually Chevy shows up and just... And in 30 seconds, Jesus on the cross, right? 30 seconds, Jesus on the cross says, it is finished. It is finished. It is finished. For it is by grace you are saved, through faith. This is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. God doesn't show up into your life so that he can like plow a little bit and then you got to kind of dig out the rest. He doesn't show up to hand you a shovel. He doesn't show up to buy you the gas for your snowblower. He shows up because he sees you in a situation, in a problem of your life. It's huge. It's not little. It's not an inch deep. It's a giant snowdrift. And he sees you in that need and says, you're stuck. I got to come plow you out. And he comes and plows you out. Thank you, Jesus. Amen to that. And he comes to bring us life. He comes to bring us forgiveness, but he also brings us newness of life. Look at this text, Ephesians 2 again, okay? Our main text thrust for today. Verse 4, but God, even though hell is at work against us, but God, being rich in mercy, Garrick, riches, rich in mercy because of the great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, what can a dead guy do? You're pretty much just dead. Like, hey, get up, dead guy. Can't. I'm dead. Dead in our trespasses. He made us alive together with Christ. And then, if some commentaries really push this hard, this is really this chapter 10, chapter 2, verse 1 through 10 here. You could actually see it as a chiastic structure, with this right here in the middle of that chiastic structure being the main thrust of this section of Scripture. By grace you are saved. And then we pick it up again in verse 8, for it is by grace you are saved. It's by grace that you're saved. God doing for you what you can't do. God doing for you what you can't do. As I look at 1 Timothy, just quick, please just let me. 1 Timothy, just quick, I know. 1 Timothy chapter 1, check this out, verse 13. This is the Apostle Paul, and he's really talking about his salvation, okay? He's talking about himself here, but he's also preaching. But listen to this. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent. Here's Paul being honest with himself. Here's Paul recognizing how big the pile is. I used to be I was living it out. I was walking in this. And then what does it say? But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. I have this underlined in my Bible, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. This is why Jesus has come. He did not come so that you might shovel a little bit. Okay, now it looks like it's cleaned up enough, so I'm going to come in. That's actually concerning, that kind of thinking. No, he promises to go to the cross, and then he does, and he dies. He promises to rise from the dead, and he does. He rises victoriously. He promises to one day return and make all things new, and he will. For you and for me, it's grace. It's just this outpouring. It's this overflowing grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. And we just, holy smokes. Have you had a holy smokes moment where the plow just comes in and you're just this 10-year-old kid and you're like, hashtag boom. Hashtag boom. I'm 10 years old. I can't pay you. You're just an awesome dude who saw me in my need and you showed up and you plowed my driveway. This is what God does for us. He plows the driveway. And that, the reason I shared that text is because he's doing it for even the person in this room who's saying, not for me. I've done too much. I've messed up too much. Yeah, exactly. That's why his grace is so giant. That's why he actually had to die. For you and for me, who's just actually as messed up as you. Praise God for that. Now, I know there's a couple of you Christians in the room who are like, wait a second, James says, with faith without works is dead. Just settle down. Listen. Just settle down a little bit. Listen, grace comes upon us. Grace changes us. Grace does something to us, and out of that overflowing, we begin to be loving to our neighbor again. We begin to live life differently. We begin to have compassion. And we begin to, yes, life changes. Yes, works follow this. Yes, good stuff comes. That's what verse 10 is all about. You will walk again, not in verse 1 of the evil stuff. You're going to walk again in the newness of life that's yours in Christ, the good works he's already prepared in advance for you. You're going to walk again in newness of life. We're so thankful for that. So just, I get it, but today let me just have my little thrust on just grace. It's free. You don't do anything. You don't meet God halfway. You don't meet God 1% of the way. May you actually believe that today. May you receive the strength of the Holy Spirit to believe that, to trust in that. And when you do, and if that's you this morning, may you return thanks and praise to him who's doing that work in you. May your posture with God be one. Not real. Oh, God, thank you. Thank you for how you love me. Thank you for plowing the driveway. Let me pray for you today. God, thank you so much. Thank you so much that you have seen us in our need. You have seen how bad it really is. Not just in Armenian genocides, and those Turkey people. Why would they do that? No, no, no. Yes, there, but also in our own hearts. The way we treat our spouse, the way we don't treat our neighbors with love or compassion, the way we have articulated in our own hearts and minds something along the lines of that we're earning this and we're doing this or we're helping you with this. God, how silly are we? How silly are we? And it comes, God, because we're taught this. It becomes because we're in this world still and we do struggle with this. And we are surrounded by spiritual attack and Satan is working to get us to believe some of these lies. And God, that's why we need to gather again and just remind ourselves this message is nothing crazy. Like, oh man, thanks for the new teaching. No, this is the same stuff that many of us have been hearing for decades. Maybe we're hearing it for the first time. But a lot of, like, maybe we're just hearing this for like the 300th time. But it's amazing how much we need reminded of this. And so God, this morning, just help us to be able to rest in this. He makes us alive again and seats us next to him in the heavenly realms. Man, sitting next to you, just sitting there, basking in the grace and forgiveness that you've won for us. We thank you, God, for that. We thank you for that. Jesus, as you change us, as you're changing us and making us look more and more like you each and every day, continue to help lead us into what walking this out looks like. God, some of us need to be in our Bible this next week just so we can hear some specific teaching around maybe some specific next steps that we can take, not to meet you halfway, but because of what you've done for us 100% and letting your Spirit drive us into what you've already got prepared for us. Please do that stuff this week, God. We want to be part of what you're up to. Thank you, God, for this free gift. Thank you, God, for your grace that's bigger than any pile of snow anywhere. Thank you for that plow that can just take it all down. And there's some big stuff in this room. All the way from disobedience of parents to murder, hatred. Jesus, all of that we bring to you now. We lay it at your feet. And we receive from you again the forgiveness that you have for us. And so we pray this in Jesus' name. And I just want to declare to you that forgiveness, that's ours. Jesus has died. He has won that for you. Your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hear that again. Be reminded of that again. They're gone because of what Jesus has done for you. Amen.